This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
Well, we're in the last stages of this series. In fact, today is the last day we've been talking about the life of David. If you've been with us for any amount of a long time, you know we have been diving into David, this hero of the faith, looking at his life and how it applies to us today. And it's taken a while to get through it because there's so much content and so many things about his life that we need to know. And so just thank you for hanging in there with us and things like that and being a part of that. And it's been an amazing thing. You know, we looked at David's life, and as I mentioned last week, it's interesting, 82 chapters in the Bible refer to David's life. And on top of that, he's actually specifically referred in the Bible over 1,118 times. You'll find the name David. And as we finish up today, I want to look at the end of his life and what that means for you and I. Look what 1 Kings chapter 2 says this. Then David rested with his ancestors, and he was buried in the city of David. He had reigned for 40 years over Israel, 7 years in Hebron, and 33 years in Jerusalem. So we get David's life. He's there together, and he started his kingship, we know, at 30 years old, and he reigns for 40 years old. So we have this idea that David died probably around the age of 70. 70-year-old David passes away. Yet in that time, in that span of time, right, he changed all of history. It's such an impact on biblical Christianity and even our world today. And so I want us to look at his life and the life that would be talked about even all these thousands of years later. But today, I don't want to look at his life in the Old Testament, but I want to look at his life through the New Testament by this guy by the name of the Apostle Paul. And he writes this passage. We're going to be there in just a moment in Acts chapter 13. And it's one single verse in the Bible, one single verse that I know that it's wrecked my life for years. In fact, I just believe before this service is over today, you're going to memorize this one verse. You're going to go put it, like we talk about, on the mirror of your bathroom. And you're going to want it to hang there all the time. And Paul is preaching. It's his first message after his conversion. Paul's been changed. It's his first message, and he's speaking to a Jewish audience. And he's talking to them, and guess who he decides to talk about in his very first message? Come on. Wake up. David, right? Somebody's about to say George. I mean, David. He brings up David, and he shares this one verse to summarize all of David's life, right? Now, I'm just going to warn you right now, because this verse is life-changing. Are you ready? Here we go. Acts 13, verse 36. Now, when David had served God's purposes in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried, and his ancestors, and his body decayed. That is life-changing right there, isn't it? I mean, don't you just want to memorize that? Don't you just want that on his body decayed? I mean, that's really good. In fact, you know what? I think this is so life-changing. Let's be a little participatory together. Let's read it together. You ready? It's on the screen. Everybody read with me. Now, when David had served God's purposes in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed. Isn't that wonderful? It just sits with you, right? This is all of David's life. Get this, summed up in one verse. Like, and I'm going to show you how this one verse has significance to your life, right? So the idea this morning is simply, as we end this whole David series, the idea this morning of the message is simply this: a legacy worth pursuing. A legacy worth pursuing. How many know everybody, even in this room today, no matter in this room, outside, everyone is going to leave a legacy? Everybody. Everybody's going to leave a legacy. But the question is, what kind of legacy are you going to leave? What kind of legacy are you going to leave? In London, there's this place called the Westminster Abbey. I have a picture of it on the screen. And this is the Westminster Abbey. I've never been there personally. I think there's probably only one person in the room who's ever been here personally. One, okay, two, three, probably two. Where's Ellie at? All right, is she here today? There's the Westminster Abbey. It's this unbelievable historical landmark that you find in London. And here's the thing, that when I look at it and I study the Westminster Abbey, what's so important to me is not just the architecture, which is really cool, but that's not what I find unbelievable. It's actually what I find unbelievable is the history that's there. If you don't know anything about the Westminster Abbey, there are over 3,300 people buried in Westminster Abbey. Entombed there. Very famous people. People like Isaac Newton is buried there. Charles Dickens, the author, he's buried there. Even Charles Darwin is buried there. But those people don't have the most significance to me. I'm amazed by the church history people that are buried there. Like, for example, one guy that's buried there is the great missionary David Livingstone. There's a picture of his tomb. You know, like this guy, if you haven't studied David Livingstone, you got to study David Livingstone. Amazing missionary to Africa, pioneer of the gospel to that country. He is so amazing what he's done. In fact, they would say that even when he passed away, the African people loved him so much, England wanted his body for the tomb, and they carried him literally all the way across. They carried his body all the way across Africa to put him on a boat back to England. And they said that when he got there, before they put him on the boat, they opened his coffin and they took out his heart. And they said to the England people, his body may belong to England, but his heart belongs in Africa. And they buried his heart there. The other one, there's another person who's there. It's this guy by the name of William Tyndale. There's another guy who's buried in Westminster Abbey. If you don't know who he is, this guy is so significant. William Tyndale is the first one to translate the Bible into English. Like, he is a hero, not just of faith in general, but you should know he's a hero of your faith. It's the reason you have the Bible today. There's a tomb there for the Wesley brothers. If you don't know who they are, John and Charles Wesley, founders of the Methodist Church, revivalists in the day. Revival spread through these guys throughout the early church. It changed the world. In fact, I love the way John Wesley once said one time, well, how do you attract people? And he said, you know what I do? I set myself on fire. Not literally, but spiritually. He goes, I set myself on fire spiritually for the Lord, and people will come and watch. Like, man, imagine if we lived life like that. And I look at these heroes, and yet it reminds me, well, not when I just look at them and all they've done, but it reminds me, get this, how quick life is. The fact that these people lived, and they did these great things with their lives, and they left these amazing legacies. And just like David's life, guess what? Even after all these amazing things they're doing, their bodies are decaying. And doesn't it sometimes remind us of the quickness of life? In fact, it reminds me that you have a start date. I hope you did. And I hope if you're here today, you haven't had an end date yet. But you will have a start date, you do, and you will have an end date. And you know, your whole life is summed up. Your whole life is summed up and forced to fit in the dash between the start date and the end date. Like, that whole dash decides your life and what it's about. And it kind of makes sense when Paul's now summarizing up David's life. Look what Acts 13:36 says again, saying David served God's purposes in his generation. And guess what he's doing right now? He's with his ancestors and his body's decaying. That's what's going on. And as significant as you and I are, I want to tell you a really important fact that you need to get today. One day you're going to die. One day you're going to die. I'll even do your funeral if you want me to, because I'll still be here. People even now, they joke with me all the time. People say to me, hey, you don't ever preach in a suit. And I'm like, I do, really. But the only time you're going to see it is when you're dead, when I'm doing your funeral, all right? And here's the reality. No matter how great it is and no matter how much money you have and how much stuff you've acquired in your life, the reality is that when that funeral is over, everybody's going to go back to the back of the sanctuary or out to the lobby, and they're going to eat some potato salad and move on with their life. Doesn't sound fun, but that's life. But what you leave behind is not the stuff you pass down to your family. What you leave behind is not all the cool things that you've acquired. What I'm challenging you with today, what you leave behind is the legacy of the people that you've invested in and the things that you've invested in. And David's life was a life of legacy. But let me say it this way. Life is temporary. In fact, the Bible calls life a vapor. Look what James 4 says. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. How many know that's all of our lives? Right? That's all of our lives. When he describes it, he describes life as a mist. Just a mist. Look how quick that goes away. It's just, it's there and then gone. Your life is just a mist. It comes and it goes, right? It's only around, can you guys see that? It's only around for a little while. And then it's gone and it leaves. Like think about it. You were born, you learn to walk, you go to school, it's a mist. You apply for college, you go to college, you get a job, you get married, you have kids, you retire, you get grandkids, you play some cards, you eat at 3:30 p.m., and then you die. All of that is what we call life. Let's just summarize it again for you. You get married, you get born, you get born, you walk, you get job, you get married. I'm not going to keep it going. It's how quick it goes, right? You get a job, you quit, you get married, you retire, you get grandkids, you play cards, you eat at 3:30, and you die. It's a mist. It's there, and it's gone. It's all gone, and that's how fast life goes. That's the vapor that he's talking about. That's how God talks to us about our lives. You are not going to be around forever. And as great as David was, his life ended. And in the same way, guess what? Your life will end. We only have one life to live. How many know you don't get a do-over? So you have to live life because it really, really matters. In fact, I wrote it this way if you're taking notes. Since life is short and eternity is long, how you live your life really matters. Since life is short and eternity is think about it. What is your life but a little mist here and gone? And so how we live this mist life, how many know, really matters. It really, really matters, which I'll also say, by the way, some of you in the room, the problems that you are facing right now in your life that's discouraging you, that's keeping you up at night, that's causing stress in your life, can I encourage you today? It's just a mist, right? You're stressing out about something that will be gone as quick as that. Just that quick. It's there today and it's gone tomorrow. And my challenge for you is to look at it through the lens, to look at your life through the lens of eternity, not through the lens of life. Since life is short and eternity is long, let's make this one short life that we have, how about we make it count? Make it worth something. And so how do we do that? Well, David tells us, he actually prayed this early in his life. He said this in Psalms 90, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days, right? And this is my prayer for Christian Life Center, is that we would be able to number our days, that we would recognize how finite life is and walk in wisdom so that we make our life count. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is, how do we number our days? Like you don't number your days by calculating, well, this is how many days I have left in my life, you know? Like, which, by the way, I got to get you this. There is actually a website that will do that for you. It's actually called the Death Clock, all right? And I took the test yesterday. This is my test, right? And you put in some information. They ask you, do you smoke? Do you drink? I don't do any of those things. And so I'm a pretty healthy guy. And I was shocked that I came out that I'm going to live to 92 years old. This is my test. 92-year-olds, 5 months, and 21 days. I'm so excited. Praise the glory to God. Right? Some of you wish you could say that. You ain't going to make it. But I'm going to make it. And if I just lose a few more pounds, I'm adding. I'm adding to my days. And I looked at this and I said, wow, I'm going to die. Not only that, but I'm going to die on a Wednesday, June 11th, 2064. Right? I get to see my grandkids grow up. And I'm excited about this. In fact, the sad part is I die 3 days after my wife's birthday. All right? So sad for her. Get about this. That's what the death clock told me. So numbering my days would be me waking up every day going, okay, today I have 14,171 days, 16 hours, 2 minutes, 35 seconds remaining in my life. But then I would wake up tomorrow and I'd say, well, I got 14,170 days, and then minutes, blah, blah, blah. That's what counting and numbering my days would look like. How many know that's depressing? If you got up every day and you're like, okay, that's next day's gone, another day's gone, another day's gone. That's depressing. But that's what a lot of people think it means by numbering your days. Let me just say it this way so you understand what it means. Numbering our days does not mean we count our days. Numbering our days means that we make every day count. And we make every day count. It means that we walk with intentionality to understand that every day you have is a gift from God. So if it's a gift from God, I'm going to live that day that God's given me to build a great legacy, not for me, but for Him. So whether I'm 70 years old, I have 70 years on this earth, or 92 years on this earth, I'm going to make the most of every day for the glory of God. And there's a legacy. That's the legacy that you leave. So how do we set ourselves up for this? What's a legacy worth pursuing? Well, again, you look at Acts 13:36, right? And your entire legacy can be summed up in this verse. This one verse can sum it up. And it starts with, now, David had served. David had served. Here's your legacy based on David's example. David's legacy, for our legacy, here's the first thing we know. David served. You want a legacy? Here's what you do. You learn that life is about serving. It's not about what you can get. It's not about what you can consume. It's about what can you and I contribute to the world around us. It's, and I know it's in our fleshly nature, it's in our fleshly desire to want. Like, we want things. Like, I don't know about you, but it's in our fleshly desire. Like, I want to be served. And actually, success in our world has come down to this one thing. How many people serve you? That's the fleshly world example of service and legacy. How many people serve you? Like, that's the worldly definition of success. You know, you get to that place where, you know, you get someone who does your lawn for you. If someone does your lawn for you, good for you. But they do your lawn. Wow, man, you've made it. You get someone to clean your house for you. Wow, man, you're a big deal. You're on top. You get someone to cook your food, do your shopping, wash your clothes, and drive you around. Man, you are on top of the world, right? Like, you have an entourage. How many know that means you have arrived and you're important? Like, everything's about you. And that is an aspiration of our world today. That how many people serve me? And my argument this morning is that aspiration of success doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. That is not where legacy is found. And how many know Jesus flipped the script on that mindset? And he says it's not about how many people serve you. Real legacy is how many people are you serving? Are you serving? Like, are you living your life to serve other people? And people, Jesus was actually asked, who will be the greatest in the kingdom of God? And Jesus says, here's the greatest, the one who serves. In fact, Jesus took it a whole step further in Mark, the Gospel of Mark, for he talks about that. He says, for even the Son of Man, talking about himself, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. How many know Jesus displayed this to his disciples? He didn't just say, hey, that we are called to serve. He modeled it to them. That night that he was betrayed, if you read the Bible, he gathers his disciples together, and the Bible says that he took a cloth. That he took this cloth and grabbing a towel, he gets down on his feet or on his knees and to wash his disciples' feet. And not, we think, well, that's no big deal. Do you know how dirty the culture was back then? There was no pedicures, people. They're walking. It was a dirty feet culture. And Jesus gets on his knees, the Son of God, God incarnate, to wash his disciples' feet. And many of them, I'm sure, and we know that biblically, we're like, no, you can't. I got to wash your feet. And Jesus is like, no, I got to do this. This is what I got to do. In fact, it even goes even crazier. As he's washing their feet, think about this. Jesus even washed Judas's feet. He washed Judas's feet, the one who would leave that meeting and go betray him. And guess what? Jesus knew it. He wasn't surprised. But Jesus was modeling to us that there is no one that is below you serving them. There's nobody that is insignificant enough for you and I not to serve them. Let me say it this way. There is nobody who's hurt you too much for you not to serve them. And Jesus is saying, here's what we do. When we serve in the kingdom of God, we serve others at the lowest point. Legacy is about service. What we have in our world today, get this, is people choosing titles instead of grabbing a towel. People are choosing titles instead of grabbing a towel. So what are we doing? Is we're chasing the title. Great leader, boss, influencer, being right. Oh man, how many love that one? Of course I'm right. That's the title I chase. We chase chief, director, captain, top dog. Let me add a couple other ones here. We chase titles like super mom, super dad, super spouse, super great parent, and how many love super church member, right? And the bright reality is you're chasing a title, and Jesus says, stop chasing the title and grab a towel. Grab a towel. Start serving people. Start serving the church. Start forgiving. Start loving others. Hear me. And if you do these things, watch how your service is the pathway towards significance and legacy in the kingdom of God. Like you want a life of legacy? I'm going to tell you right now, you start serving. That's why Paul wrote it this way in Philippians. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the mindset as Jesus Christ, who, being in the very nature of God, basically he was God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. I mean, isn't in the world today we love equality? I mean, we preach about it all the time, no one's better than you, you're this, you know, you're special. No, you're not. He didn't count it as an advantage to him. Look what verse 7 says. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Can I just tell you, if you're taking notes today, legacy isn't built on self, it's built on service. It's finding ways to serve others instead of making life about you. And people who are looking for titles and accolades, you know what they do? They walk into the room and they announce, here am I. When you're looking for those accolades, here am I, I've arrived, I'm here. People who are looking for it, that's what they do. But how many know people who live a life of service, they walk into the room and they say, there you are, I see you. I see you. CLC, I just want to say this. It's simply you and I realizing that we are here to make a difference in the world. That it's not about us, but it's about others. And let's be honest. How many know we all deal with it And we all struggle with that mindset. Like, I don't know if you guys can relate to this, but so many times as our son Braden was getting older, and he's getting older, and guess what? I'm getting older. I needed his help. Like, I need help to move something sometimes, or to carry something in, or putting something back together again. And I would say, Braden, I need your help. And after some grumbling on his part, he would start to help. But he always found a way to keep leaving and escaping before the job was done. Like, I don't know if your kids do this, but I would ask him to help, and he would just keep disappearing. And he would just, you know, he'd just be gone. Like, he would do one thing, and then next thing, where'd he go? Like, he's gone. I thought I was done. No, you done, you crazy. And then and maybe you can relate as a parent, then I just get offended. And I start thinking to myself, I deserve better than this. Like, I provide for you, punk. Like, I provided your car. This dude texted me yesterday and he said, hey, here's the website so that I can get my unlimited car washes while I'm at college. And I'm like, what's your debit card number? And he said, what's your debit card number? Like, what? I provided this house and this food that you have. And how many know, you've done this as parents. I'm playing in my mind all the reasons that I'm mad. And I get to that place where I'm just so angry and I'm like, I'll just do it myself. I'll just be a martyr. I'll do it myself. And then in my mind, I'm playing that self, you ungrateful kid. I'm playing that in my mind like, I'll never do anything for you ever again. I'm done being your dad, right? And finally, this conviction hits me. The conviction says to me, the Holy Spirit says to me, I've got to stop making this about me and what I deserve. Come on, church. I gotta stop making this about me and what I deserve. And this is a natural tendency of humanity, is to make stuff about us. And God's speaking to us in this room today, and he says, you want true legacy? Stop expecting from everyone else and start serving those around you. Stop being a place of expectation. Find opportunities. You see a need, you meet the need. If no one gives you credit for what you've done, how many know it's okay? It's okay. You're not doing it for them anyway. How many know you're doing it for the God of the universe? And guess what? He sees you. Look at Acts 13:36 again, right? It's on the screen. It says, now when David had served God's purposes. David understood something that I want you to understand today. How many know you are not called to just be a good citizen that contributes to the world around you and the things around you? You are not called to be just a good citizen. You are called to make a difference. You are called for the purposes of God that he has planned out for you from the beginning of this world. You know what? We believe in making a difference is so vital that we've actually implanted that into our vision as a church. Like, we stand on a fourfold vision that our whole plan of everything we do is so that people will know God, that people will find freedom, that people will discover their purposes, and lastly, they'll make a difference. We've built that in there, right? So I want to tell you, number two, if we want a legacy after David's example, then we have to understand that David served God's purposes. He served God's purposes. It wasn't his agenda. It wasn't his own ideas. It wasn't his preferences. It was about, what does God want me to do with my life? And then I'm going to go do that thing. And so many times I think you and I are praying the wrong prayers. This is what our prayers usually signed out. We're praying, God, would you bless my desires? God, would you meet? This is what I want in my heart. Like, we misquote, God gives us desires of our hearts. How many know there's another part to that? According to what? His will? His purposes? And we pray, God, would you bless our desires? Would you bless my plans? Would you bless my agendas? And maybe I'm just challenged that we would change our prayers to say, God, what is your desires? God, what is your plans? God, what is your agenda that we should all want to get involved in and be a part of, right? And so I believe this, if you want to see the true blessings of God, stop asking God to bless your plans and start going to God with, what is your blessings? What is your plans? And get involved in that thing. And then you're going to see the favor of God in your life. I just believe that there is a plan that God has ahead of time, that he's prepared ahead of time for each and every one of you. And David stepped into that plan. He didn't just serve, like the scripture said. He didn't just serve. He served in what God had purposed for his life. And I want you to get this with in this room today. I'm going to say this over your life. Everyone in this room, I don't care who you are, hear me. God has something purposed for your life. Absolutely has something purposed for your life. You're not just a number. God has a divine plan for your life. Paul says it this way in Ephesians 2, right? He says, for we are God's handiwork. Man, take that to your heart. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared, in advance. I mean, God knew something that you didn't know? For you to do. There is a plan for you. He has something in advance for your life. However, guess what? Your job is to figure it out. What is it that God has for my life, right? And that should be what you want to serve. The thing that he has for your life. It should be the thing that you go after. I love, if you know anything about Rick Warren, he made this amazing statement. It's simply on the screen. It says it this way. Rick Warren said, you were made by God and for God. You were made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life will never make sense. What a great statement. Like, legacy is found in discovering what is it that God has planned for my life, and then you and I go after that plan. We go all in on it. And I want to say this to you this morning, church. With all love as your pastor, I think sometimes we've missed out on what the whole purpose is. The purpose of life is about God's divine story. It's about God's divine story being unfolded in humanity. It's the kingdom being built and his glory expanded. That's what life is about. It's about God, not about you. And we miss this as the world intersects with Christianity. As the world starts to penetrate inside of Christianity and the life of Christianity, we start to miss this and it gets clouded and we start to think, well, the world says it's about me, so surely Christianity must be about me. And we miss that whole story. And let me be your pastor for just a moment. You are not the focus of this whole story. How many know, I'll add another layer as your pastor, I love you, but you are not the purpose of this whole story. You are important, you have a role to play, but it's not about you. It's not about you. And I need you to hear this morning with all love. If you think it's about you, if we think it's about us, guess what? We're going to be frustrated when it isn't about us. When it doesn't go your way. When it doesn't meet your expectation. It reminds me of this very godly character by the name of Spider-Man. I personally love the Marvel superhero things. I get all into it. I think it's cool. And if you're 30 or over, I hope you agree with me, but Tobey Maguire was the best Spider-Man there ever was, right? But Spider-Man. But I've watched the newer ones, and I love them. And Spider-Man, to me, is such a good example of what this shows us about. It's not about us. Like, when you look at Spider-Man, like, this is the poster for the movie. When you look at Spider-Man, right, you see, well, it's not clear to find out, even looking at this promotion, that he is the center of attention. That it's really all about him, right? He's the center. He's the hero. He's the one that's going from building to building and fighting off the bad guys. Which, by the way, can I just encourage all you in the room to get all on the edge of your seat? Spider-Man's not going to die, right? You think it's over, but it's not. Why? Because the movie's about Spider-Man, all right? But when I think of Spider-Man, we think, sometimes we put ourselves in the story and we're like, well, man, that must be what God wants me. I'm the hero. I should be the star. We are the overcomers, right? We preach that all the time. We even preach this all the time. We are the defenders and the defeaters of evil. And then I started thinking more about the people, the supporting cast around Spider-Man. And how many of you know who Ned Leeds is? Oh, like two or three of us, right? So I'm glad you don't know who Ned Leeds is, because I'm going to show you who Ned Leeds is. Ned Leeds is this guy. Ned Leeds is right here. Like almost not even there. That's who Ned Leeds is. But how many, if you know the story, Ned Leeds plays such a vital role. Like he's so important. Not a prominent in the promotion, but vital in the story and success of Spider-Man. Just by this room today, nobody knows his name, but you know what? He has a job to do. He has a vital role in it. He is Spider-Man's buddy. He is the one who encourages him. He is the one who helps him out. His role is to make Spider-Man the star. His role is to make Spider-Man all about the story. Ned is not trying to go from building to building. He won't be successful. You know, he's not trying to shoot webs out of his hands and fingers. He's not taking on the bad guys. He knows his place. And so he doesn't try on the suit to say, man, what this looks like. Why? Because he knows who he is. And let me tell you with all love this morning, you are not Spider-Man. You and I are Ned Leeds. We're Ned Leeds. People are going to forget your name. And how many know that's okay? Because the story wasn't supposed to be about you. How many know the story is about Jesus? He's the center. He's the star of the story. And I'm encouraged this morning when we look at our legacy is that we need to make our lives about him. And that when, by making it about him, we do our part behind the scenes saying, you know what? I exist for one purpose, and my existence is simply for this, for the glory of God. That's my existence. And my existence is for his purposes and not my own. And the Bible says that David served God's purposes with his life. And our lives will not make sense. They're not always going to be perfectly put together. But I can tell you this, they'll never make sense to you until we turn it into serving God's purposes for his story. So how do we do this, right? How do we do that? How do we turn it for his purpose? We reach people who are far from God. That's what we do. Why? Because it's about God's story and not ours. You know what else we do? We give generously. Why? Because it's about God's story, not about us. You know what else we do? We love difficult people. Why? Because God's the star and not us. And guess what? God loves all people. We forgive people who hurt us. Well, Pastor, you don't know how bad they hurt me. They deserve me to punch them, not love them, you know? It's about Jesus. And you know what he told us to do? Forgive. And it's not about him. And not about us. It's about him. You know what we do? You know what we do? We invite people to church. You know why? Because it's about God's story. It's about what he can do with their lives. And so we invite them to church. You know what we do? We support missions around the world. Why? Because we want to be a part of God advancing his story. We treat people with kindness. Why? Because we are here to display God's story and his glory to a broken world. We look out for the marginalized. Why? Because it's about God's story. We treat others in a way that honors them and brings them to Christ. Why? Because we want to advance God's story. And if they don't know our names, if they don't know your name, if they don't celebrate us, guess what? It's okay. You know why? Because it's not our story, it's his story. By the way, can I just add this in there? The greatest way to get involved in God's purposes on the earth is to be involved in the local church. There was no other vehicle that God chose to advance his purposes but the local church. And with all love, and I'm not talking to you in the room because you're here today, but the discount of Christians of the church is shameful to the Lord. The church was the vehicle that he chose to use. And how many know, besides CLC, there's no perfect church, right? I'm joking. We are far from perfect. But God still chose to use the local church. You want to be involved in God's purpose, there's no other way to do it outside of the local church. Can I encourage you, CLC, if this is your local church, then find a way to get involved. Find a way, because you will be calculating and being a part of God's purposes. Get connected, not just as a spectator, but be a participator, right? Haven't found, if you're today and you haven't found a place to serve, guess what we can do? We have a person that we pay to help you find a place. Her name is Michelle. Find her. She will get you. If you don't know her name, go to the Welcome Center. They say, I need Michelle, right? They will find her. We will get you involved. Have you stopped tithing, or maybe you haven't become a giver? You know what? Can I encourage you? It's time to give God a try. Be a part of his purposes. Maybe you stopped praying for your church or praying for the leadership here and your pastoral staff. Can I encourage you? Start. Be a part of God's purposes. Like, as you get involved, I believe you will get involved in the purposes of God. And that is bigger than us or any other person. It is all about him. So David served, and David served God's purposes. But look at Acts 13:33 again. It says this finally. David had served God's purposes in his own generation. Man, you want to build a legacy and you want David to be the example. Look what David did. The third point quickly is this. David served God's purposes in his own generation. Here's what this means. It means that David made a difference where he was and when he was there. He made a difference where he was and when he was there. Get this, where he was and when he was there. He decided to make the most of the season he was at. And we can see this throughout his life. From a shepherd boy serving out in the field all by himself, made the best of it, serving God's purposes. To finally, he's anointed to be the next king, and you think he would take over, but it didn't happen for 15 to 20 years. And he served God's purpose when he was and where. He didn't just say, you're the next king. And then he sat back and said, well, I'll wait till I take the throne and then I'll serve God's purposes. He served God's purposes while he was waiting to be a king. How many know that he killed a giant before he was king? Even though he was already anointed to be king. He served God's purposes in his generation. He served God personally, even though he was told he'd be over the whole kingdom and he only got partial of the kingdom at that time. He still served God's purposes. David says this, I'm not waiting around to serve the purpose of God. I'm going to do it when God tells me and where he tells me. God strategically has placed you when and where you are right now. Right now. Look at Acts 17. Says this, for one man he made all of the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And look at this, he marked out their appointed times in history. Guys, I want you to put yourself into this. He has marked out your appointed time in history and the boundaries of their lands. You know what that shows us? That God knows the best time for when you were to be born and where you were to be born. Like, this deserves you to give God some praise, because I'm so grateful. I don't know about you, that I wasn't born 500 years ago. Come on, right? I'm grateful for 2025. I'm so grateful for iPhones and Chick-fil-A, right? Think about it. How many know I'm grateful for air conditioning? It'd have been different. 100 years ago, man, I'd love to see this right now. 100 years ago, you'd have to ride a horse to church. That'd be funny to watch you guys ride down on horses. Some of you, that'd be comical. I'm grateful where I was born and where I live. Like, you could be born and living in Alabama right now, right? Aren't you grateful that you're in the great Missoula, Montana? God has designed you where you are and when you are. And here's what I want you to understand this morning. Each person is uniquely designed by God to make a difference in the specific time and place where God has placed you on this planet. It's designed by God. It's not an accident that you are here today. It's not an accident where you were born. It's not an accident when you were born, because God knew it was the best scenario for you to make a difference. How about another step forward? It's not an accident, the season that you're in right now. Maybe it's a good season. Maybe it's a difficult season. But either way, it's not an accident. Because I wrote this way, how many know God has a crucial assignment on your life in the current season you're in? Sometimes we think our seasons are a waste. Sometimes we think our season, in the midst of our season, that obviously God must have forgotten about me. Sometimes we think in the midst of our season, well, God has just placed me on the sidelines right now, and he'll get me in the game when he's good and ready, but I'm just in a season right now, and I just need to stay where I am. And we think, well, God has no purpose for me at this moment in my life. But we learn as we serve God's purposes that sometimes, it doesn't lead us to times of goosebumps and happy feelings. But sometimes our seasons lead us to frustration. Sometimes our seasons are like, this is not what I asked for. This is not what I signed up for. But that's what it means to serve God's purposes in your generation. Meaning simply this, I'm not waiting around for things to get right for me to make it right. We embrace the season that God has us in right now. And hear me, you will never leave a legacy waiting around for things to get right. You'll never leave a legacy waiting around for things to go the way you expect them to go. We serve God in this generation. And I'm with you guys. I'm with you, church. Do things look dark right now? Yes. Do things look in the world frustrate me and you? Yeah. Like, do things in our world seem so counter to who God is? Absolutely. But hear me with all love, man. We don't wholly huddle around each other and say, well, if we just resist long enough, if we just huddle together and just wait, this whole thing is going to pass, right? Like if we just get around each other and just say, oh God, it'll just all go away. We don't want to be a part of it. Let's just wait. They'll figure it out. God's going to get you. Walk over this way. U of M, you all sinner kids. Lightning's going to strike. If we just huddle together, if we just stay together, it'll all go away. Like we just make it our prayer, dear God, make us a bird so we can fly far, far, far away. That's not serving your generation. That's not who we are destined to be. No, we serve God's purposes in our generation. And let's don't miss the moments that God's given us. There is purpose to your season. There is purpose to where God has us and to where God has you. Let me just say this to you, some of you in the room. If you're in a youth season, let me encourage you. Use this season to build foundations in your faith. As you go back to school and you're in that young life season, you're a young person in the room, man, study the Bible in this season. Find good friends to get around. Share the gospel in your school. Serve your generation. If you're single in this room, can I just encourage you, leverage your singleness. Make it a season of undivided focus on the Lord. Spend more time with him than you ever have before. Go on a missions trip. Get involved. Do things for God that you'll never be able to do when other things pile in your life. Serve in your generation. If you're married in the room, serve your spouse. Help them fulfill all that God has for them. Right? Open up your home to a discipleship and a CLC group. Use your marriage as a way to honor God and model it to others because you need to serve in your generation. If you're parenting right now, can I encourage you, disciple those children. Don't just raise them up and say, we did a good job. You know what you do? You raise them up in the faith. Do family devotions. Serve together. Teach them about the things of God. And can I just say this? Get them and keep them in church. Make it a priority. Because you need to serve in your generation. If you're working, you have a job, use your job as a way to speak life into others. Encourage others. Model to others your faith. Make a difference in people's lives that work with you and around you. Because the Bible says to leave a legacy, you serve God's purposes in your generation. If you're a retiree in the room, you're on the senior level, use your season to serve the church and others. If you're a senior, retiree in the room, be committed, hear me this morning, to passing wisdom and faith down to the younger generation. Can I encourage you, if you're a senior in the room today, embrace change, yet model what's kept you in the faith. It wasn't a music or a song that's kept you in the faith. It wasn't a dress code or an action that's kept you in the faith, I'd like to believe what's kept you in the faith is all the things that God's done for you over these years. Don't retire from God, but know His purposes are still great for you, and don't waste your season. Fund a mission trip. Can I encourage seniors here today? You know what I would do? Buy a journal and start writing down testimonies over the years. Pass that down to the next generation. Let me just say this. If you are in a season this morning of illness, can I say this? Use this season to learn deep trust in the Lord. If you're in a season of illness, learn dependence on His power. And I'll just speak this over your life today. If you're in a place of illness, you are building a testimony and making a difference, and your suffering is not in vain. It's not a wasted season. Serve in your generation. I love how C.S. Lewis wrote it this way. I love it. He says this: you're never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream. Serve in your generation. I hope that God stirs in your heart today to realize that He's still got something really good for your life today. Like, there's still a legacy to be departed to those coming behind you. And I want to close this out today with this thought. We mess up all the time. And I hear this all the time, and people have said to me before, you know what, Pastor, I think I've blown my legacy. Maybe it's too late for me. My legacy is already wiped out. Look at the things I've done. Look at the things I'm doing. My legacy is ruined. And here's the hope of David's story as we close it out this series. David blew it and messed up all the time. All the time. But how many know when he's written about 1,000 years later, how many know he's not written about his failures? He's not written about his mess ups, because that's what God came to redeem. Can I say it this way? Be on the screen. We might not have started right, but because of God's grace, how many know we can finish well? We can finish well. We can finish well. If you're 18 or 88, by God's grace, you can finish well. So how do we have hope that we can finish this thing well? Well, let me show you again in our verse. What did it say? Now, when David had served God's purposes in his own generation, he fell asleep, he was buried with his ancestors, and in his body decayed. And you're going to say to me, well, there's not much hope in that, Pastor Heath. And I say, of course there's not, because our hope is not in David. Amen? He's not our Savior. He's not the one we go to. Why did Paul preach this passage and this message to a bunch of Jewish people? Because he was telling them, hey, I just want you to know your hope is not in David. David was finite like the rest of us. David lived life just like the rest of us. David's hope was not in himself, because his body, like ours, will also decay. But then Paul did what he's a master at. Like, Paul was the master set you up. And he did this to the Jews. He set them up. He used David. He sets them up as he's preaching. And guess what he does? He always brings in the next verse. And look what the next verse says in Acts. But the one whom God raised from the dead, that one, come on, he did not decay. In other words, our lives will come and go. But the one we served, he went to the cross. And he died for us. And he was buried in a tomb. But how many know, praise God, he's not decaying there today? Do you believe me today? He's not decaying there today. We know that he rose on the third day. And he is alive and well and sits at the right hand of the Father and intercedes for us, showing us that with God, all things are possible. That your story is not over. That your legacy is not done. That God, come on, can make all things new. It can restore all things. And that's the legacy that we need to grab a hold of today. Would you stand with me this morning? And I want to encourage you this. I just want to end our service this morning. I just want to end it with a moment to pray for you. And if you're willing to receive this, if you feel comfortable, you can raise your hands. You can put your hand over your heart. I just want to pray a prayer over you. That your legacy will be all about Jesus. I pray today, Lord, that our legacy would be all about Jesus. I pray that over these people today, that our story, that our church's story will be your story, oh God. And Lord, as I pray over our people today, I want to speak this over you. I speak that you will serve God's purposes. That I speak that you will embrace God's season that God has you in. I pray that I do believe over you that God will anoint you to be a David to this generation. I pray that there are giants that are needing to be killed, that there are people that are needing to be saved, that there is purity and holiness that needs to be pursued. There is calling that must be captured. There is a kingdom of God that must be built. There are battles that are to be won. There are struggles that are to be overcome. There is loss that need to be found. And Lord, I pray that the news for us today is that our hearts will shift, that it's not about us, but it's about you, Jesus. And that, Lord, my prayer today is that you will empower your people to say, I want to be the people of God that serve God's purposes in my generation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. We sing all my life. All my life you have been faithful. Yes, you have, Lord. And all my life you have been so, so good. Yes, with every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. We'll sing one more time, all my life. Cause all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. Yes, with every breath that I am able, I'll sing of the goodness of God.
I wish I would have thought of it this morning. Just sitting here thinking as I'm looking out over our audience and watching you worship. If I'd have thought about this, it'd have been awesome. I would have made every one of you a name tag. And your name tag wouldn't have your name on it. It would just say legacy. Your name is legacy. Because it's not about you, right? Somebody says, what's your name? Your name is legacy? No, legacy is when I'm leaving. His name is Jesus. It's not my story, it's his story. I want to encourage you to carry that out today. What is your legacy? Are you serving the purposes of God in your generation? Let's do that together. We wholeheartedly believe that God has good plans for our church. And we're going to continue to grow. We're going to continue to see people walk through our building. But it's not because of us. All glory, all honor, all attention goes to Jesus, the name that is above every name. That one day, guess what? Every knee's gonna bow, and every knee's gonna bow, and every mouth's gonna confess that He is Lord. Amen. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed this morning, we're gonna close out with this. If you're here this morning, man, I just want to give you this opportunity. No one's looking around, it's just between you and the Lord. But maybe your life has seemed like there's a lot going on. And we're just encouraging your life is a mist. Live it with intentionality. And we said this in the message, the greatest way to live life and to make sense of life is with Jesus as the center. If you're here today and you're just like, I need to make Jesus the center of my life. I need to begin to say, Lord, I want to live for you. I want you to be a part of my life. I want you to be everything. I need to give my life to you, Lord. And if that's you this morning, not to embarrass you right where you're sitting, you know, we're not going to do anything, but we just want an opportunity to pray with you. And if you're here today, say, Lord, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want him to be the center. Would you do me a favor? Just put your hand up real quick. Put it back down again. I just want to know who I'm praying for. Thank you. Come on. Anyone else? It's your opportunity. Thank you. Hands. Lord, right now we just come before you. If you're in this room today, we recognize that life is a mist. It goes by quick. So, Lord, let's make it matter. And the only way to truly make life matter is to serve Jesus. So if you're in here today, you raise your hand. I just encourage you right where you're standing. Just simply say this under your own prayer, in your own way, in your own mind. God, I want to make you the center. Lord, be the center of my life. I commit my life to you. Here's my heart. Here's my ways. Here's my days. I make them count from this point on for you. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Purify our hearts. And let me live for you all the rest of the days of my life. Finally, Lord, I just pray blessings upon your people. Lord, may your face, may the joy of the Lord shine upon us. And as we walk out of this room, Lord, may we consciously every day wake up and go, God, what is the legacy I'm leaving? What's the story that's being told to bring honor and glory to your name? And help me live that way. Lord, I want to live for your purposes in my generation, in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we give you all glory and all honor. In Jesus' name, everyone said, come on, amen and amen. Let's give it up to God today. Amen. Amen. I'm going to dismiss you in a moment. I'll remind you, please stay after, hang out. We're already ready. Food trucks are ready. Grab something to eat, or if you need to go grab something, come back. We have things set up for you. We have a prayer corner right here in this corner. We have some wonderful people that would love to pray with you. If you're facing something, you're in a season, maybe you gave your heart to the Lord, maybe you just want someone else to agree with you. We have these wonderful people. Just make your way over here. They're here for you. They'll stay around. They just want to pray with you quickly and hopefully set you in motion for an amazing, amazing day. Go live a legacy. Invite someone to church next week. God bless you. Have a great Sunday. Amen.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.